The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome in to Rover Sports.
We are running up into the Super Bowl rematch, and we'll be getting into that a bit later in the show. Eagles will be playing the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night at Arrowhead. I thought for a while I'd be attending it, but it just doesn't set up that well for me to miss 2 days of work. So what will we be talking about this week? We're going to be talking about the Kelly Oubre injury, the Sixers, Nick Batum missing tonight's game for personal reasons, Philly's hot stove, looks like the Hoskins era is over. And then, of course, we're going to talk NFL football, Penn State football. We are on Jacob Media Sports. We're back from the bye week, so you'll actually see our show this week, which will be great. Everybody will be here. Xander and Joe Krause, we want to thank them for the opportunity to be on. For many of you who are watching this show, after our lack of failure to launch, which we are not doing, we're actually launching this week, I am Dr. Bruce Grossinger. Coach Josh Stacey here, who's had great experience coaching at high school and college levels, college basketball, Memphis, New Mexico State. And, of course, Dr. Stephen Grossinger, Stephen Lewis, I used my name twice, my esteemed colleague, who also will talk about everything sports and medicine. But I wanted to also, we're going to bring in Charlie, want to talk a little bit about Sixers basketball. The 76ers have exceeded everybody's expectation. They've gone 8-1. The schedule's really weird this year because we end up playing teams like Indianapolis, Indiana, twice within 3 days, in Boston Celtics, bookend Wednesday games. But tonight, and again, we're going to be rolling this show off during the week, so the updated scores will be dated. But let's talk about the Sixers. Dr. Lewis, your thoughts on the team? I don't think anybody was that excited about this team, about the Harden madness and the trade. And I'm warming up to the trade right now. What are your thoughts on the Sixers?
I liked it. I liked the trade a lot. I think that it was good talent wise, but with regards to overall, it was addition by subtraction. There's no doubt. This is a guy that comes in and he's lacking one thing: a ring. And it's going to be his legacy. It's going to be, I mean, I was hoping that he would come into the Philadelphia 76ers knowing that he's a Hall of Famer, one of the top players in the history of the game. And the one thing he was lacking was a ring, and he would come in and do what he had to do that. And he was just another toxic cancer in the locker room. And you know, it was just a horrible game to watch with him on the court. He let us down in the final series. And you guys knew it going in when we got him. I mean, but then again, what are you going to get for Ben Simmons anyway? But trading him was an addition by subtraction. It's allowing this team to flourish and allowing Maxey to become a superstar.
Well, Doc, you're absolutely right. You're flourishing under new leadership. You're seeing the fact. You're seeing an all-star being born right in the city in Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey had 50 points the other night. He's become more exciting than basically when you have James Harden, it's like you have handcuffs on the rest of the other four guys because they're never getting the ball or they don't know when their opportunity is going to get the ball. Maxey handles the ball, dishes, he scores, he does everything the right way. And you can play a two-man game with him and Joel Embiid. And it's exciting to have such a young player that he's developing right in front of us in Tyrese Maxey. And he's such a fan favorite, Doc. It makes it fun.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm enjoying watching every game. And I was at a sports bar, and it was mostly football, and I was watching Maxey, you know, score his 50 points. So I was, you know, I was really tuned to NFL football, and I even had tickets to the game, actually, and I gave them away because I was tuned to NFL football. But I was sorry about it because Tyrese Maxey, the way he finishes, just the way he throws it off the top of the backboard, the way he hits threes, The way that him and Joel beat, it's just so fast. And I went to the game last week. I went to the Celtics game, and I was impressed by the speed of this team and the amount of players that Nick Nurse has a whole different style. So we're done with Doc Rivers. We've got Nick Nurse. This team is playing fast, and they're playing athletic. And last year I thought that Boston just abused us. Those last two games, or last game, whatever, just I tried to block out the playoff series. They were up 3-2, and they ended up losing. But this team is athletic, and I'm looking even tonight or whatever this week, you know, it is. We are recording tonight on Tuesday, but you'll probably see this Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday on Jacob Media Sports. Tobias Harris is reborn. He started off with the first 8 points of the game. Embiid with 14. And again, the update, Kelly Oubre was walking across the street in Philadelphia. And unfortunately, it's a lawless city now, and there are so many accidents all the time. And the only time you hear about it, if a guy who's 6'7 gets hit, but it's just, it's a lawless town. And obviously, we're hoping with Sherelle Parker, our new mayor, who's going to actually wake the city up, she's going to basically enforce crime, and people drive like maniacs, and it's dangerous for all of us. And we need to do is lock up these criminals. We're going to be doing it. And Sherelle has Greg Siegel, our good friend, who's a law and order guy who bankrolled her. And I got good news. We're all in Philly. There's nobody who likes a dangerous neighborhood. Nobody. And Sherelle's going to be good, and she's going to lock up these people. And people, we still don't know. With all the cameras, we don't know who hit Kelly Oubre. But Kelly Oubre was lucky. He had one broken rib, soft tissue injuries to his hip and leg. And I understand he may have been, I had a blur of a day today, but he might have been watching the practice today. Did you tell us your thoughts on the medical aspect of Kelly Oubre? What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, we're limited in what we're told, and we're not the treating physicians, of course. But you know, it seems he has a rib fracture. He's going to miss significant time, but he will be an instrumental part of the team. One thing that I will tell you is, and it comes with Nick Nurse, who is an X's and O's great coach. The culture of this team is where we want it to be. This team wants to play basketball. You see what went on Sunday night with that Maxi 50-point performance and Joel Embiid with load management. There was a hot rumor that he was not going to play tonight because there's a big game tomorrow with the Celtics. He wasn't going to play. Embiid's not only playing, he's got 14 points already, 4 rebounds and 3 assists. So he's playing. Everyone on this team wants to play basketball. It's a different culture, not a hardened culture. It's a culture of energy, excitement. They want to win. There's energy. And Tobias Harris, as you said, he's playing the best basketball of his career because he's not intimidated. He's not being bullied by this hardened mentality, and it's a different culture in this clubhouse right now. There's no doubt this team is really, really good. They have the best record in the East right now, and I think they're gonna. You know, they have a lot of flexibility to make a move, but even if they didn't, this team is going to build chemistry, and with great coaching, they're going to go very far.
Charlie Bowles, you're never a big James Harden fan. I'm sure you saw that soliloquy by the Dallas sportscaster, and he went through it. It was brilliant. I don't think anybody failed to miss it. You're a Sixers fan. You've spent a lot of money on the Sixers for some great tickets, and I think we're all surprised by their start. Do you think they have sustainability?
No. I agree that Nick Nurse is doing a fantastic job. You can see the difference. You can see they're playing his style of basketball for sure, and that's all encouraging, no doubt. In the end, in the playoffs, it comes down to talent and execution, and I don't see any. Look, they're playing better, but in the end, when this game becomes more of a half-court game and it's not as much run and gun as you see in the regular season, I think in the end, I was told today, they told people that they were good because the Bulls look like they're ready to have a fire sale by the end, you know, in the next 30 to 45 days. I can't believe that's true. I think the Sixers know they're a player short. You know, they're legit. You know, number two player short. If this roster goes into the playoffs, they'll be out by the second round again.
Yes. So looking at Nick Batum now, one thing I hasten to say is when somebody goes out for personal reasons, and again he missed a game for personal reasons. I don't mean to be unempathetic, but it just reminds me of Ben Simmons where, you know, if Batum has a relative who's
critically ill or something like that. To me, that's about the only thing on the list that would mandate missing a game. With Kelly Oubre out, you really need your wing. You need Nick Batum. I like the way he's played, but disappointing that he bowed out of this game tonight. And I can't definitely conclude that it's wrong, but again, we don't know what these personal reasons are, but it was disappointing to hear that. And you look at it, and Melton, who's been really, I think started off the whole year rather cold, seems like he's jacking in there. And in Indianapolis, the Pacers have Toppin and Tyrese Haliburton, a guy that we were looking at. We were certainly, I would much rather, I wish they would have gotten Haliburton instead of Harden. It's easy to have play Monday morning quarterback, but the Indianapolis team, they run and gun. They're a fast team. They're an exciting team. And it's just weird the way the schedule sets up where they play on Sunday. And then they played, and then they're off, and they're playing so many. It's weird they're playing home games that again. I can only go to so many games, but I knew I wasn't going to this game. And then tomorrow the Celtics are back, and it's just weird. And this, the nice thing is the in season tournament. I just looked at it for the heck of it. It's like we're 1-0, and Indianapolis somehow is 1-0, but we played them. Like I don't have any idea how they're figuring it out. I've just looked at it, and we beat Indiana, but how could they be 1-0? I mean, the whole thing is garbage.
It absolutely is garbage. It's a way to generate interest in a league that honestly, Charlie, I think should start on Christmas Day. I really do. Obviously, this is just this in-season tournament, so maybe LeBron can have another ring. Let's be honest, the same teams, like you're going to see Philadelphia, you're going to see Boston, you're going to see Milwaukee. They're going to be representing the East. I'm sure Charlotte's not going to be there, Doc. I'm sure Chicago's not going to be there. And then in the West, you're going to see Golden State, LeBron's Lakers. You possibly, even though I find it hard to believe, the Clippers may stumble in there because of the notoriety of so many guys on that team, which are 0-4 since James Harden's arrived. So he's been already made an impact on that team.
And you know it's only a matter of time before he goes cold, before he starts blaming everybody. That's what was so beautiful about the Dallas Mavericks guy. How every team has gone over backwards, Morey particularly. And no matter what you do for this guy, it's never enough. He always blames everybody. And we wanted to like him. I wanted to like him.
I wanted to like him, yeah.
But again, after Simmons, I guess anybody's, Simmons sets the bar pretty low, Steve.
I mean, the tournament, this in-season tournament that they have, was obviously created to generate interest, but it was also created to stop the load management because the winner of the tournament gets each player is getting $500,000.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a big deal from that perspective. So
is that really true?
Yeah. So they're getting
a lot of, seems like a lot of money. I don't know. Maybe I'm underpaid, but that seems like a lot of money.
I don't know the exact amount. It's a significant amount of money.
That's
it,
really?
Charlie?
Yes, I believe that is accurate.
Yeah, I think it was 500.
So that's the ultimate winner team. Some chunk of change.
Might be a reason why Joe's playing tonight. You know, it's a good chunk of change to get, no matter how much money you're making by any regard. But it's really Adam Silver has lost this league. I mean, their load management thing. If this is what they have to do to entice the players to want to play. It's crazy. I mean, I would play. Would you play? I mean, I would play every night if I could.
Well, Doc, I would play anyway. But you know, the funny part is this:
they could drag me in broken glass for half a million.
The intent.
But, a lot of, I think most of our listeners feel that way. We are right up against the break. We'll be back with Rover Sports.
I mean, I think it's.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Spencer on remote today. He's at Lancaster coaching. And we're here with Coach Josh Stacey, Kyle Newby doing a beautiful job producing, Matthew Vito, Incredible lights. He gets better every time. He's doing our video editing. And we've got to thank Jacob Sports, Xander, Joe Krause, and all the people. And I thank Joe for the opportunity for me to do the Eagles injury report. A lot of people just go to the country club. We went the other day, and people are watching. You know, they're watching Seth Joyner and Mike Missinelli, and some of them are staying late to watch the injury report, especially when people like Jalen Hurts and Dallas Goedert go down with injuries. But as we head to the top of the hour, we talk about college football. Spencer was there. He was in Penn State. He'd never been there before. I've never been there. And he said that the Happy Valley and the stadium, and that it was so welcoming, beautiful mountains. And that's something I got to do. And Spencer said he's got to grab me for one of these trips. He had an incredible time going to Penn State. It was very orderly, not chaotic. The people, the run-up to the game, the tailgating, the game itself, the stadium, and just the welcoming, the beauty of Happy Valley. He just raved about it. Unfortunately, Penn State, it could have been their Super Bowl. We gave a big run in up to it, and Penn State just couldn't generate any offense at all. And in fact, to the extent that they fire yet another coordinator, another offensive coordinator bites the dust. And James Franklin, I guess it's easy to scapegoat, you know, the other people when you're James Franklin. But I know you and I spoke after the game. I wanted to hear your take on things. And Josh, you have the floor. Go ahead.
James Franklin's 3-14 against Michigan and Ohio State in his tenure at Penn State. You can run the entire every other team doesn't matter because they're not playing for anything every year. And here's the best part. Ready for this? Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC join the party next year in the Big Ten. Penn State's offense is abysmal. Now, I don't think they have a go-to player on the team, a guy like a Marvin Harrison Jr., who's a stud. They have two good running backs, but the quarterback's shaky. He's thrown for 70 yards last week. They look abysmal, and here's the problem. They are going up. They have a great defense. They've got one of the best defenses. I was talking to a good friend of mine, Bill Kalick, who I went to college with. This is one of the best defenses in Penn State's history. I mean, of all time, and they cannot do anything. Ohio State, they were abysmal. I mean, here's the deal. Michigan threw the ball one time in the second half. J.J. McCarthy threw the ball one time in the second half. All they did was run the ball.
Just chipping in, I think that when your offense doesn't move the ball at all, even the best defense gets worn down. In the second half, when you're on the field the whole time, the other team is going to just kind of, you know, slug along with runs and just eat up the clock. And Michigan, a lot of people look at and say that J.J. McCarthy can't throw the ball or they're a running team. I think you'll find that they really have the ability to switch, and they will pass when they need to. But just the way that game was moving at such a slow speed, and they knew that they had Penn State bottled up, they just basically took a sponge and sponged out the minutes of the game. And they were able to do that.
Yep.
Steve, you watched that game. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was incredible. And Penn State's defense is spectacular. And they're fifth in the nation in rushing defense. So what did they do, Michigan, to win this game? They ran the ball. They weren't feared, intimidated by that. They just went and rushed the ball, and rushed the ball very well, they did. And again, McCarthy had eight. We went for 7 for 8. He's a Heisman Trophy candidate. But Blake Corum really just shined, 26 carries, 145 yards. They rushed the ball. It's old-style Michigan football, and they stuck to a game plan, and they really looked like one of the best teams in the country for sure. On the other hand, Penn State just looked inept out there. There was some questionable coaching decisions by Franklin very early in the game. He was going for two. It made no sense to do that, and I know Charlie and I in our production text group were both questioning that. There's been unbelievable bad coaching decisions all season long that Charlie's pointed out, but to grab points that early in the game just it's a little demoralizing. I didn't understand that, but he did it twice, and then when asked about it, he couldn't even give any sound answers. So it's concerning, you know, as far as Franklin and his future at Penn State, but you know, that was an embarrassing loss at home.
Charlie Bowles, I watched the game that I found thoroughly enjoying, and I know you watched it as well. I watched the Oregon Ducks play USC. And what I took out of that game is Bo Nix has really grown up.
Yep.
He's not the same Bo Nix as Purdue. And he's just the way he reacts, throws the ball, does misdirection, and the Oregon Ducks, their defense, they really have a complete team. They have a great defense. And Caleb Williams, I wasn't really a big fan, but I saw the way he got beaten up. It reminded me of a 15-round prize fight. He got abused and beaten up by Oregon, and he just kept on coming back. And I was really impressed with Williams and just the toughness he had and the way they hung in there. And it was really an old-style game. What are your thoughts on Oregon-USC? Did you enjoy the game as much as I did?
Yeah, I was really hooned. It was a 10:30 start. I'd watched really closely that Washington game, Utah last week. I was fascinated by that game as well. But yeah, I think Oregon was. I don't think they played their best game. I think they were probably 70% of what they could have been. They played a little flat at times. They're going to get their chance against Washington. Although I don't know if Washington gets out of this weekend against Oregon State. I think Oregon State could clip them this weekend. But yeah, I think that they'll get their chance, and I think it all depends on Washington now, because you're going to have a lot of one-loss teams at the end of the year probably get one spot. Texas, Alabama, I mean, and you know, maybe Washington, Oregon. So there's going to be, you know, what happens the next 3 weeks is very, very important. Oregon should want Washington to win out, so that win means more at the end of the year. Bo Nix, like, I agree with you 100%. Totally different quarterback than he was at Auburn. He's put himself in the first round of the draft by effort and desire, and he's earned every bit of it. I mean, at Oregon, he just didn't seem like he was ever going to get it right. He's a totally different quarterback today.
Yeah, I mean, Nix just is so professional. He carries himself in a way that is very professional. And obviously he's not a tall person. He kind of reminds me a little bit. There's a little Baker Mayfield. Baker gets the ball out fast. But he seems more disciplined. When Baker had his bad times, Baker would just drift back, and his mechanics would break down. But Nix, just looking at him, he just looks very professional. Did you catch any of that late game, Josh?
Yeah, I did. And Doc, one of the things I'll say, the reason why he's professional is because he's in his sixth year. He's a six-year quarterback. This is the last year of the COVID year where you can have that extra year. So good for him. He's put the time in wisely, and he's going to probably be, like Charlie said, a first-round pick.
I really like it, though.
He's 6'2".
Okay, he's 6'2". He's not 6 foot. Yeah. I guess he's 6'2", but I guess when you're up against, you know, USC, like they've got massive, you know, all these quarterbacks, even if you're 6'2", you don't look that big. And but there's just, it's very exciting, and it's interesting that Charlie points out that there's only going to be four teams, and there could be a team like Oregon who's going to be on the outside. You've got Texas and obviously Alabama keeps winning, even though, you know, they started off, you know, in a way that they didn't really distinguish themselves. And you've got Michigan, Ohio State, and next year, Georgia, of course, you know, who basically fell from 2-1, I guess, just because of lackluster. But, you know, I think it'll be better when you have more teams in there. I personally think it'll be better that there'll be division winners and there'll be at-large teams, and the bowl games are going to matter. So as a fan, I think that on one hand, it reminds me of baseball where you have maybe too many wild card teams now. There'll probably be too many teams vying for the national championship, but I kind of like that. We are going to take a brief station break. We are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
I want to welcome everybody into Rover Sports. One thing you'll find about our show, we are in Jacob Media. We definitely cover our share of Eagles. We're coming off a bye week, so there wasn't as much of a there was actually no need to go over the game because the bye week was the bye week. And we're looking into the Kansas City Chiefs playing a Super Bowl rematch against the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles they're going into the most difficult part of their season. And we could begin to talk about the fearless picks. But as far as going around the league, I could say that let's just pick one game that you liked last week that you found you wanted to spotlight. I'll tell you one game just right off the bat. I thought that Zach Wilson really looked good. Like, I hate to say it, he looked really good. He threw one interception, but he actually maybe Aaron Rodgers is teaching him how to throw the ball from all arm angles, and I was kind of rooting for that team, and they lost. But I thought he actually looked good in the second half, and I watched the game closely. Did you see that at all? Or?
A little bit, Doc. You know, he's progressing. You know, he's not the superstar everybody hoped he was going to be right out, but you know, he's progressing, and maybe it's good tutelage by that. You know, the one game that I thought, once again, Charlie, we talk about this all the time. The Chargers just find ways to lose games. I mean, I don't think the Lions are that much. They're a good team, but you're putting up 38 points and you're still losing games. It's just baffling how the Chargers just continue to lose games the way they do.
Charlie, what do you think about, again, that, you know, Lions-Chargers? That was a fun game to watch. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Lions, you know, they just keep rolling. What were your thoughts on that game, Charlie?
Stupid penalties, Derwin James with a couple. Again, that guy's leading the league in personal fouls. He's a really good player, but he hurts them at the worst possible times. Again, undisciplined. That he's gone. I mean, I what I think, watch out for Jim Harbaugh to San Diego next year. That is what I, again, it seems like a long shot. I don't believe it's a long shot as what people think. I was enamored with the C.J. Stroud. I think he is now a prime MVP candidate. He's done it now a couple weeks in a row. To be a rookie in this league and be so poised under pressure and bring them back time after time, I mean, he's got to be the story or one of the big stories of the NFL this year.
Especially Charlie, with quarterbacks being as bad as they are. There's only a real good handful of good quarterbacks out there. You got Tom DeVito playing quarterback for the Giants. You got various quarterbacks around the league that they've been hurt throughout. You know, Kirk Cousins is down, Aaron Rodgers is down, so it's been a down league for the quarterbacks.
Yeah, but CJ, sorry, Charlie, go ahead.
Now, there's been some bad football this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
there has been.
The quarterback, you see how much a quarterback matters because, God, there's been some awful football.
The CJ Stroud's just a likable kid. He really is. We saw great things out of him at Ohio State, and I just knew. I mean, it's hard to believe he wasn't the top pick, but I just knew he was destined for greatness. The game that intrigued me the most, Bruce, was the Cardinals game. A guy that we know is not going to win a Super Bowl, and we're not big fans of Kyler Murray. The Cardinals have some decisions to make because he came back from an injury a little bit early. He's playing with some heart, and boy, he had a heck of a game.
He did, and I saw that there are times when the Falcons have got, I would call an average, they're not a terrible defense, but they've got an average defense, but he really ran. Like he's been hurt. He's been rusty. I mean, he had to be rusty, but he showed a lot of heart really running at that game and winning that game against, you know, a desperate Falcons team and a Cardinals team that doesn't have a lot to play for. So I was impressed with him. That was a game I definitely watched. And
he's owed a lot of money. I think he's owed a fully guaranteed contract. Yeah. So if you're the Cardinals, you got some decisions to make because, it seemed like the tank was in order, whether you believe in Gannon or not. But, you know, what do you do now? I mean, this is a guy that's playing, might be playing too good to pass
and
up on.
And to be honest with you, Caleb Williams has looked like a diva all year. So I wouldn't be, I'm not exactly sold on his franchise tag, you know?
On Caleb Williams from USC?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
I disagree.
But I mean, I think there's such poor quarterback play. The game that was, I was at a sports bar with Spencer, and the audio was the game of the Cowboys Giants. But it was by far the worst game. And one of the interesting statistics that came out of that game was, how many times did the Giants play the Cowboys? Like a million times. Yep. The Cowboys had almost 600 yards of total offense, the most they've ever had in history. And the Giants are just, like, totally unwatchable. And so, for me at least, it makes it easier with Christmas and New Year's. You know, obviously, a lot of times I'll stay around if the Eagles have a good, you know, if they have a good game. But two of the worst games, throwaway games, are going to be the New Year's game against the Giants. I might have a hard time giving away those tickets. Yeah. And also the away game, there's no way I'm traveling to MetLife. And dealing with MetLife traffic is, in its best day, the worst. And so those Giants games are just throwaway games. I think that you could you could pencil them in as automatic wins.
Yeah, you hope. I mean, you never know. It could be trap games and letdown games. It is really still trap games.
They might just not have to play their – I mean, that last game, they hopefully they're going to have the number one seed. They could just rest everybody.
Hopefully.
And yeah, but hopefully it's a long way away. But this is probably a perfect time to jump into the NFL Fearless Picks. And we're going to start rolling right now on Rover Sports. Okay. Josh Dacia, you are the king of the and Spencer will give you his picks during the week so he could chime in. Nope. So how did we fare last week without getting into too much detail?
Well, Spencer took the lead. He's 26-16 overall. You're in second place with Charlie at 25 with Colin. I'm sorry, at 25-17, and Colin, Doc, and I are kind of pulling up the caboose right now. So you went 3-3. Spencer went 4-2. I went 4-2. Charlie,
things are tightening up here.
Charlie rebounded, went 5-1.
Nice job, Charlie.
So all of a sudden we open up with a Thursday night game that's actually watchable for the first time in a while. Cincinnati travels to Baltimore. Cincinnati's 5-4, and Joe Burrow looks like he's got back to his old stride. They're getting 3.5 at Baltimore. So Dr. Lewis and Spencer's not here.
I guess I'll start off. Okay. So number one, I love the game. You know, these are two teams that are really, you know, are going to be in contention for the AFC Championship. Baltimore has been playing great at home. Cincinnati, when they're hot, they're really hot. I just got to figure there's something about maybe I'm old school, but I think there's something about that home field crowd in Baltimore. It's a real gritty crowd, kind of like Philly a little bit. Cincinnati is coming away. They're only getting 3 points in that game.
3.5
points. I've tried. Anytime I bet against Baltimore, I end up losing. They end up punishing me. So I'm going to roll over and take Baltimore in this game. Josh,
you know, Doc, I like the same. I like what you're thinking, but I think Joe Burrow is just coming on strong lately. So I'm going to go with Baltimore.
You're going with Baltimore.
I'm sorry. I meant to say I caught myself. Yeah. I was Cincinnati.
Yeah. I think since they're both teams are coming off a loss, but I just think that that this is Burrow time, and I agree. I'm taking the Bengals.
Colin,
I think I like Baltimore here. The Thursday night game might set them up to get a win at home.
Charlie,
I think this is almost playoff eliminator. I mean, the Bengals have the toughest schedule going the rest of the way. I think they're in a must win. I think it's a close game, and that 3.5 may come into play. I'll take the Bengals.
Yep.
Okay. All righty.
All right, so the next game we have Pittsburgh. Both teams actually in position. Pittsburgh 6-3. The Browns, who at one point were down by 14 with less than 6 minutes to play at Baltimore, came back and won last week. Their running backs, Ford and Hunt, are playing strong. They're getting some play out of Deshaun Watson. So we got Pittsburgh's traveling to Cleveland, the dog pound, and they're getting 4. Where are we going, Doc?
Okay, so I think Watson has an ankle injury, but I think he said he's going to play. I think they're going to tape him up. So so Pittsburgh's getting 3 in that game?
4.
Oh, they're getting 4 in the game against the Browns?
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to presume that Watson is going to play, and the Browns are playing at home. It is a black and blue divisional game. And when I see this, I tend to go with the home team. So you can see what so far it's acquitted me well. I'm just a shade out of the lead on our fearless pick. So I'm going to take the Browns. It's going to be an ugly game, cold, windy game. So I'm going with the Browns, but I'm not. It's not my pick of the week. I'll tell you that.
Ground and pound. I'm going with Cleveland.
I hate to agree with everybody, but I think Cleveland at home. I agree with you. Division game, Cleveland.
Colin?
I don't know what it is about the Steelers. I don't love their roster, but they seem to be playing okay. I'll take Pittsburgh.
Charlie, you like this? You're a Steelers guy, and you watch them. You watch them and know more about them. Which you know, I'm gonna lean heavily into your dialogue here. How do you dissect this game up?
I mean, they have been outgained in every. They're the only team in NFL history that's been outgained in every game so far this year, and they have a 6-3 record. I mean, they the definition of ugly win, but they have Mike Tomlin, nobody else does, who's probably the best coach in the NFL no one talks about. I think Cleveland coming off a very, very, very spirited comeback win. Well, obviously, again, there's no such thing about a real letdown. These guys are pros. But in the back of my mind, I think this is a very, very tight game. It's not on paper. Cleveland should win the game by a touchdown or more. But I think in the end, it's going to be – I'll take Pittsburgh in the four. I think it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game. And that's old-school football. You like that kind of a game.
Okay, and one of the games that I think is, you know, it's both teams are playing themselves for a high draft choice. You got the L.A. Chargers getting three, traveling to Green Bay. Green Bay's kind of in rebuild mode. Chargers, I think they're about to blow this thing up. They've got one of the best receivers in the game in Keenan Allen. A solid backfield with Austin Eckler and Justin Herbert. But, you know, they just find ways to lose every week, Charlie. So, Doc,
so let's talk. Give us a record just because we got a little more time we're one man down. So I like the fact we could do a little more analysis. Chargers record so, and Chargers, Green Bay's, please.
Chargers 4-5 and Green Bay's 3-6.
And the game is being played in Green Bay?
Frozen tundra.
Yep.
Okay. And Jordan Love is starting,
yes,
I guess.
And he's playing well.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really a pivotal game. If the Chargers want to stay in the contention, they're going to have to win. They've come really close. And, you know, I when I pick them, they usually lose. But I'm going to pick them again. I'm taking the Chargers to just – if they could get to even at 5-5, you know, with seven games left, I think it's such an important game. And if they were to lose this and go 4-6, they would basically be done in my view. So I think that – obviously Green Bay is kind of – is out of it, 3-6. So I think the Chargers want it more. They've been beaten a million times in every bad way, and there's every reason to go against them, but I'm somehow going to take them again.
I'm going with the Chargers. Just get Keenan Allen the ball. You know, just get him the ball and let him run havoc because he's been when he does that, they put up points. That goes.
If the Chargers had any fans that cared, I mean, it's hard. Their coach would have fired already. I mean, this is like I don't even get what's going on out there. They, as you said, they just find ways to lose. The Packers at home, we're starting to get in the cold weather time. Packers not playoff bound, but I'm going to take the Packers and take the points.
Colin?
I don't particularly like either of these teams, but I think the Chargers are a little bit more talented. I'll go with them to cover.
Yeah, so this is what we call the mediocre bowl, Charlie. Neither of these teams are that exciting. They're full of flaws. They're honeycombed with flaws. And with inconsistency and not great coaching. So, Charlie, this is a tough game for me to pick. What are your thoughts on this game?
I think you'll get more of what you've seen. You'll get stupid penalties. You'll get San Diego going for it on fourth down from their own territory. It all comes down to will any of it work? You know, will any of these stupid gambles they take work? Again, it is a very, very fishy line. I will take Green Bay in the three.
Okay.
I'm saying if you want, you could throw an extra game in because we're actually doing pretty well in time. And we're going to roll right till the end. We've got 9 minutes left. So I like the fact we got momentum. So we're not going to take any more breaks. We're going to roll to the end.
Niners. The Niners game.
Yeah, we'll do the Niners. Okay, so, yeah, we'll do the San Francisco 49ers game. Bucks. So we got the Bucks 4-5 traveling out to San Francisco. San Francisco destroyed Jacksonville last week.
Destroyed them. Eviscerated them.
Their defense looks like, even though they were a strong defense before, adding Chase Young, oh my gosh, you got the two other styles, Joey Bosa and
Chase
Young.
I really felt good about that game, and I hope it was the lock of the week, because that game was a laugher, and I knew that 49ers were going to come back strong, like they had to, and they came back with a vengeance, and Jacksonville had nothing in that game. So it's 49ers against
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay
against the Bucs, and the game is in San Francisco.
Yep, and Tampa Bay's getting 11.5.
Yeah, so I mean, all right. So I'm looking at this game, and I just think Tampa Bay is coming across the country. I'm just not a believer in them, and that's a lot of points, not enough points for me. 11.5 is not enough. I'm saying that this is going to be mirroring the Bucks. Jacksonville Jags, the Jags. I just think this is going to be, I feel very comfortable taking the 49ers at home. They're just going to roll. And so I'm taking the 49ers in this game. Go ahead, Josh.
I think the defense is too strong. The offense has too many weapons. Deebo Samuel's coming on strong. I think Brock Purdy just continues to light it up, and any fight, they're going to win. It's an easy win for this. It's Tampa Bay stinks.
Yeah, I think I got to agree with the panel here. I don't think 11 points is enough, 11 and a half. This is my Rover Sports lock of the week. I think they absolutely at home. I mean, I'm very scared of the 49ers. There's no doubt. This is a team that was predicted to be in the Super Bowl. They had a little midseason stumble. As Charlie says, the Super Bowl's not won in this early in the season. They're starting to come and hum along. I'm scared of the 49ers as an Eagles fan. So they're starting to get into tune, and they're starting to get healthy, and the defense as well. So 49ers, and give up the points.
Colin Newby.
Tampa just snapped that losing streak, but I still think they're kind of sinking away this season. And the 49ers, a lot of their wins have come by a huge margin, so I think they cover that big spread.
Charlie?
Tampa Bay Island all by myself. I love it.
You're
Tampa,
kidding, really?
Charlie loves it.
Why Charlie?
Because that's how Charlie makes his bones against the panel. He lets us come in, and
I know, but I
he
hear
just
him.
Steals the bacon.
Why
I want to hear the analysis here.
The pressure was on San Fran last week. Lost three in a row. They were getting a lot. All the sharps, they said, were on Jacksonville. San Francisco was a square bet. They were clearly, I mean, I can believe anyone who liked Jacksonville in that game. I think, again, you come home. I mean, look, Baker Mayfield is just that kind of quarterback where he's almost too dumb to realize he's overmatched. I mean, you know, he's got good wideouts. He's got a good running back. Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
He's got good wideouts. He's got a good running back. I mean, I think you could be a backdoor situation here. 11.5 to the Giants all day. 11.5 to you know, guys got Mike Evans and Godwin on the outside, White in the backfield. I just don't think San Francisco really is going to get that kind of level up again. Look, they were scary good, and they could do it again, but I'm going to bet they don't.
Okay, so the next game we got a team that, you know, with Geno Smith, 6-3. Traveling down to the L.A. Rams, and guess who's the starting quarterback?
Wentz starting?
Carson Wentz.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something?
So that's what I heard that on the radio earlier today. They said they believe he's going to be a starter. So they're 3-6. Seattle 6-3. Kenneth Walker, Geno Smith coming together down the stretch. They're really putting something together strong. So they travel down there, and they're giving them 1 point. So it's basically a pick'em game, Doc.
Okay, so... for me, I'm glad I didn't waste my lock of the week because this is my lock of the week. Seattle's a very good team. I've watched them. Hard-nosed defense. I don't believe in Carson Wentz. He is stale as a loaf of bread that's been out in, you know, on the sidewalk for like 6 months. He's stale. 1 point. I just don't know. Maybe they know something I don't know. They say the line tells you something. I'm taking the Seahawks all day long against an apathetic L.A. Ram crowd who've already checked out with 3-6. And Carson Wentz is just terrible. I'm not my favorite quarterback, and I'm going to enjoy watching him get housed. That's my lock of the week.
Wow.
Take the Hawks.
Wow.
I love Kenneth Walker. He's coming on strong. It's too bad I have his backup because he never gets any real touches in Zach Charbonnet. But Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett, this is a team that I think you got to watch in the playoffs. Seattle could be really good.
I mean, listen, the Rams defense is not going to make this simple for Geno. And, I mean, I think I could throw the ball to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And you talk about having a great wide receiver core, tandem, one of the best in the NFL. The Rams are at home. I mean, I'm not a Wentz fan, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that...
you're going to distinguish yourself here. You're breaking away from the
crowd. Sean McVay comes up with some kind of game plan here, and the Rams win this game.
I think I'll watch the game for sure because I'm interested to see what Wentz is about.
C.J. Wentz.
But I think nobody could really... this is like game one of the year that you don't know what Wentz is going to show up. And, yeah, he's going to come in healthy. Colin, what do you think?
I'm going to go out on a limb also. I think that one-point spread's a little weird. So take a shot. That maybe is a game to take outright for the Rams.
It is weird. It's a weird line.
It's just a weird line. That's why I'm a sucker. That's why I never bet any money.
Let's see what
I'm only here on the Rover Cup because I'm a sucker for a weak line like
that. Let's hear CB.
Charlie, I can't wait to hear how you break this one down.
I, I think Geno Smith has been wildly inconsistent.
Yep.
I don't think he's having a very productive year. I think it, again, and I think they're misusing Walker. I think aside from that, he exploded with that big touchdown last week. Aside from that, I don't think he's getting any consistency with his touches. I think this team's wildly overrated. And I think, again, they're walking into a defense that will rally around Carson Wentz. And I think in the end, again, I think the Rams win the game.
I don't know that anyone's going to rally around Carson Wentz because I don't think he's very likable.
Well, his new teammates will rally around, at least for the first game until he pisses people off.
Maybe, hopefully.
Well, we have arrived at the game of the week, Kansas City hosting the Eagles.
The rematch of the Super Bowl.
And what is the line in this game?
Eagles are giving 2.5.
No, they're getting 2.5.
I'm sorry, they're getting two and a half, yeah.
Okay. I think that there's a lot of revenge on the minds of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think that they are going to be, they're without Dallas Goedert, without Avonte Maddox, but I think a lot of the other guys are going to be back, and they've circled this game as a rematch game. And I believe that Sean Desai has a lot of wrinkles, and it's going to be a wild game, a lot of unpredictability. I think turnovers, wind, And I'm taking the Eagles. I'm taking them, despite the fact they've been, you could say, irregular or inconsistent. This is time for the Eagles to they're really going to be up for this game, and they're running into a tough stretch, and they want to get revenge against. They're really embarrassed, in my opinion, 10-point lead, embarrassed in the Super Bowl. They're going to show some strength. Jalen Hurts has had 2 weeks to recuperate from his bone contusion. I think you're going to see him take chances and run more so. And I feel good about the Eagles winning this game. It's going to be a great game. We're all going to be watching it intently.
Doc, you know, there's no sod father we have to worry about. Taylor Swift's on tour. You know, I think it's a rematch, and I think the Eagles win.
She's home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So will she be at the game, Charlie?
No, her next concert's not until the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. So let me ask you a question. Who's going to get more looks at Travis Kelce's mom or Taylor Swift?
So
I am not a Swiftie.
The interesting.
I did hear that today, that she's done touring until the day after Thanksgiving, I believe.
Huh, that's interesting.
The interesting thing about this game is that both teams are coming off a bye week. Yeah. And Andy Reid, as you know, has an unbelievably successful record coming out of a bye week. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's something like 27-4. I mean, the man just does not lose coming off a bye week. Both teams are coming off a bye week. The fact that he's at home, and this is a big game. Andy Reid hasn't lost to the Eagles since he moved on. I hate to say it. It's killing me to say it. But, I mean, if it's not the Rover Sports Lock of the Week, it should be. I think Kansas City at home coming off a bye week with Andy Reid, knowing this is ultimately revenge, wins this game and covers the spread. I'm picking the Chiefs. I hate to say it.
Colin?
I think I believe in this Eagles team a little bit more than most people around here do. At least it seems that way with a lot of the skepticism. I like the Eagles to win out right here. I believe that a lot of their first half mistakes can be cleaned up, especially after that bye week.
Charlie?
I am not an Eagle fan, as you know that. But at the end of the day, there is something to be said about this loss in the Super Bowl last year that I'm sure eating them alive. I think Philly comes out prepared. I think the bye was the best thing to happen to Jalen Hurts. I think Philly wins outright.
Well, this was a great week. This hour went by quickly. I want to thank everybody, our two producers, our hosts. And as always, we want to say good night and good sports.
Fox is reporting.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Mannion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisMannion.org. That's TravisMannion.org. In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Mannion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Mannion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Mannion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisMannion.org. That's TravisMannion.org.